His plan for agriculture is to cut both harvest losses and first of all to try to process and preserve what we produce. You remember in cocoa, he went so far as to build silos to preserve so that then the price goes down, we don't sell. For our own products, his idea was to preserve them from post-harvest losses, normal insects and so on. But to me, more importantly, to process them. Because if you process your tomatoes, the purees, insects don't eat the tomatoes. He had this idea long ago that you could use even what we call to be the dry areas to produce fruit. And then he had the factory at Accra and so on too. And he tried to the juice factory because at that time, not only did we export cocoa beans as they were without any processing and therefore we didn't get much money, but even the sacks in which we exported the cocoa were imported. So he started juice factory, agriculture, with a name that we should use it to make bags for the cocoa and so on.
However, Ghana's agricultural output has consistently stagnated since the 1960s. Beginning with a drop in commodity prices, farmers have been faced with fewer incentives and motivation to produce, as well as the general deterioration in the needed infrastructure and services. In February 1972, barely a month after he came to power, the late Colonel Ignatius Kutuachampong and his National Redemption Council, NRC, launched Ghana's most popular food program, Operation Feed Yourself. The program was aimed at making Ghana self-sufficient in food production and ensuring food security. This was to break from the colonial past and erase the image of a beggar nation. Ghanaians were urged to engage in agriculture and contribute to the country's food sufficiency. Urban dwellers were drawn into backyard gardening and large-scale rice production was encouraged in the northern region. Mr. KB Asante takes us down memory lane.
A champion said, Yentua. Now, if you borrow money and you don't pay, people don't lend you more money. So Ghana found it difficult to raise loans. We couldn't raise loans. We didn't have enough dollars or pounds in our sales to bring in all we needed. For our factories, for our health and educational needs. So it also meant that we should cut down on import, especially food import. So he had this operation, Feed Yourself, grow what you eat and eat what you grow. Many people, they did something in the house. They grew tomatoes, we grew pawpaws in the house and bananas and so on in Accra here.
In the first 3 years of Operation Feed Yourself, the production of all key food and industrial crops increased. Ghana was officially declared self-sufficient in rice production in 1974. This led some authors to describe Operation Feed Yourself as Ghana's Green Revolution. 74-year-old retired teacher and peasant farmer Raffle Norte Ago Akron was among young men recruited for the program. He shares his experience.
So Ghanaians are being lazy. The land is round and they are not making use of it. Even at your backyard, you can plant pepper. Operation Feed Yourself, Obia, Draw. Some of us went to plant rice at the Dowinya Dam. We have been taken every weekend to go and do communal labor there. Operation Feed Yourself. Actually, Operation Feed Yourself came to help Ghanaians.
In 1983, Ghana experienced the harshest setback in agriculture when drought hit the country, resulting into widespread shortage in food production. Apart from the drought and its attendant effects, climate change has compounded the challenges facing food production. A lecturer and an environmentalist, Professor Chris Gordon, charged Ghanaians to completely change their attitude towards the environment as the country attains age 60.
60 years is our retirement age. It should be the golden age where we enjoy the fruit of our labor that we are now established. But in fact, Ghana is 60 in terms of the environment that we have created for ourselves and are leaving for our young people, in fact, is a mess.
Currently, Ghana's poultry sector is facing challenges, especially after the outbreak of bird flu in 2015. The unbridled trade liberalization that allows the importation of chicken products to compete with the local ones is also affecting the alien industry. Apart from Nigeria that has placed a ban on the importation of poultry products, restriction on chicken products across the continent is mainly to curtail the spread of disease instead of protecting the local poultry industry. Victor Oponajay is the chairman of the Ghana National Association of Poultry Farmers.
Globally, poultry impacts every economy. If you look at American economy in 2012, the impact from poultry was $265 billion. In 2014, it increased from $265 to $469 billion. Not America alone. Other countries, poultry is impacting all the economy. But it looks like when you come to Ghana, it is rather going down. So we are anticipating that the government will look into poultry because it's an avenue that can be used to create over 1 million jobs along the value chain. Poultry has a very long value chain from maize production up to the end consumer. So we are expecting that if they've forgotten us, we want to remind them that this is an industry which has a very good potential to create jobs.
It is quite obvious that challenges will not be addressed if market forces continue to dictate the direction of the poultry industry in Ghana. The policymakers must therefore intervene to regulate the activities to boost local production and consumption. In 2015, for instance, poultry farmers across the country recorded their worst sales as they were able to sell only 35% of poultry products, as revealed in a nationwide survey by the Association of Poultry Farmers. The poor sales were attributed to imported poultry products, which were 50% to 60% cheaper than locally produced chicken. It is estimated that Ghana spends about $800 million annually on the importation of rice, chicken and poultry products, a trend which has been attributed to the depreciation of the local currency against the major foreign currencies. At a time Ghana is celebrating her diamond jubilee, agriculture continues to dwindle instead of growing. The sector is bedeviled with low technology application on the part of farmers. The lack of adequate extension officers, good road networks, coupled with insufficient factories to process the produce, continue to be a source of worry to farmers in the rural areas. In executing the One District, One Factory policy, the focus should be on adding value to agriculture products by processing, harvesting produce instead of exporting them in their primary state. If agriculture is to be used to solve the debilitating unemployment problem in the country, then government must take steps to make the sector attractive to all. Agriculture must be seen as a business rather than just a source of livelihood. This way, we can guarantee food security now and in the future.